And good morning. So good to see you this morning and to have listened to you welcome one another. That, you know, pre-2020 greeting of the saints that we brought back this morning. How sweet that was. Such a joy to worship with you. If I haven't had a chance to meet you before, my name is Ryan, and I serve as the pastor of Teaching and Vision here. It's a joy to serve this body and open up God's Word each and every week. And I would love a chance to meet you. If I didn't get a chance to greet you already, I'd love a chance to greet you. I'll be down front and there to pray, to talk with you, just to get to know you a little bit. Would love that opportunity. If you are a guest with us, I want you to know you came on a very good Sunday. We don't do this very often. In fact, it's probably been at least 2 or 3 years since we had what we called a Vision Sunday. And that simply means that as we looked at the year ahead, and I've been praying and asking the Lord just for wisdom, for clarity, for guidance as a shepherd of this flock. Where are we headed, Lord? What are you doing in our midst? And how can we be faithful to that? And what I'm going to share this morning is what I've received from the Lord over the last couple of months to launch us into a new year that I pray would help us to faithfully continue what God has already been doing so beautifully in our midst. You may have heard over the last couple of weeks of a football coach named Kurt Cignetti. Coach Cignetti is the head coach of the University of Indiana football team. And up until this year, the University of Indiana's football team was the worst football team by record in the country, in the history of college football. They had more losses than any other school in history, if you can imagine that. And in 10 days, by the way, on my birthday, they will play for a national championship. I'm not a University of Indiana fan or alumni. I simply have become a fan of this coach and watching this transformation that he has led this team on. And one of the things that I heard him say, I've listened to a few places where he has spoken, and I don't know anything about him, but I've listened to a few things, and there's a few things that he said that were quite biblical, whether he knew it or not. And one of those things that he said at a award ceremony, talking about his team and why his team has had the success on the field, the fruitfulness on the field, he said this: You form your habits. You form your habits. And then your habits form you. And what he's saying by that is a biblical truth. We've heard it from the Apostle Paul. You will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, establishing new rhythms and new habits. And as we do those things, as we establish those habits and we form those habits and make commitments to those habits, when we get into the battle, into the hard seasons of life, those habits then form us and shape us. Transformation is not just simply an idea. It's a way of living that cultivates your life and shapes you over a season of time. So this morning, as I think about and I've thought about where we are headed as a church, what are the habits, what are those things that are forming us, both individually and corporately right now? What are those things that we are cultivating in our lives that are shaping us, and what do they lead to? See, if you aren't familiar with our church, we were planted in 2014. We started this church, and God has done amazing things, miraculous things in our midst. That is why we are endeavoring to build a new sanctuary, to literally triple the space that we have so that we don't have so often setting up chairs in every nook and cranny of this room, creating all sorts of hazards that no one will speak about after they leave this room. Doubling our children's space so that we never have to say to a young family who is taking a step towards Jesus, "I'm sorry, we don't have a room for your baby this morning," because we're just out of space to safely care and love them well. That's why we are doing that. But as I said when we began our series looking at the letter of 1 Corinthians, if we simply build a building but our lives are not formed by the gospel, then it really is a waste of time. It will create more space, but it will not lead to a continuation of the mission and the transformation that we've seen God doing over the last decade. In my heart, my desire, I have no interest. I never set out to say, I want to build a big church or I want to pastor a church of this size. I simply want to be found faithful in the end. And I want to lead and shepherd a people that pursue and love Jesus. This is why this matters. When we planted this church, we established this mission statement. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. And as we think about our mission statement, we think about, how do we live that out? James K.A. Smith, an author, wrote, "You are what you love. You are what you love. And what you do tells me what you love." I had a friend once say, "Let me see your checkbook, Ryan, and I'll tell you what you're devoted to." You are what you love. But so often the world gets in the way, doesn't it? We chase after all the things of the world, the shiny things of the world. We chase after what psychologists know or call dopamine hits. We just want to feel good. And so we look for anything that makes us feel good. Eugene Peterson, a faithful pastor, one of those pastors that made it to the end of his life, unlike, sadly, so many, without an affair, without a scandal, without falling away from the faith. And he described his life in Christ, and he described discipleship in this way: long obedience in the same direction. Following Jesus is a long obedience in the same direction and pursuit. And this is what we're after, looking at Jesus. Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at that text this morning. It doesn't just show us a church. It shows us a church that not only learned and believed the gospel, but organized their lives around the gospel. It's a New Testament picture of how we are called to live. This is what we're called to do. By the way, you received this handout, and I want to encourage you. There's a side that is mostly blank, and if you did not receive this handout, if you'll just stick your hand in the air, our ushers are still lingering. They will ensure that you have one and a pen. But I want to encourage you to use this side to take notes. Write down whatever the Spirit might impress upon you as you hear me. And primarily what I want you to hear how each of these letters, and you're going to understand what they mean a little bit more fully in a moment, how each of these letters is rooted in the teaching of Christ and is rooted in the gospel. But Acts chapter 2, if you're able to stand, I'd invite you to stand out of reverence for God's word as we read this text this morning. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing their proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we read this passage, and perhaps it's a familiar passage to you if you spent any time in the church prior to joining us here at City Church, you've heard this taught perhaps. This is not, though, just some idealized version or vision of the church. This is a real church that was the start of the New Testament church that is still, 2,000 years later, Jesus is building upon what started there in Acts chapter 2. These were real followers of Jesus who actually believed in the gospel and were empowered by his Spirit, and they lived in obedience to Christ. And I want to highlight really just a few words at the very beginning, four words. "And they devoted themselves to all of these things." They devoted themselves to all of these things. They were a devoted. They didn't simply believe. They didn't simply profess belief and acknowledge Jesus. They believed and they were devoted to teaching and to fellowship and to having meals with one another. There was a devotion to Christ, and they lived together in such a way that they made Jesus visible to the world around them. That's why it says at the end of what I read, "and day by day." Notice that. It's not like day or maybe every few months or every couple of years. Day by day, through their visible lives, there were those who were being saved, their lives being transformed, those coming to faith in Christ. So we think about what we're doing here at home at City Church. City Church, we've said our mission is that we are a community of people growing in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world. If you never heard that before, that's okay. But that's what we've said for now 11 plus years. This is who we are, a community of people growing regularly in submission to Jesus' Lordship for his glory, for his fame. It's a biblical mission, and if we live this out, if we truly live this out, we will bear fruit in such a way that our gathering, our body, our family, even after we leave here on Sunday mornings, in fact, even more so when we leave here on Sunday mornings and when we go out into our communities, they're going to see a people of God, a community of God that makes Jesus visible. But there's a gap on knowing those words, seeing that mission on a screen, and actually knowing how to live it out in practice. And this is the burden that has somewhat stirred up in my heart. How can I help you take God's word, the truths of God's word, and yes, we work our way through the scripture week by week, but how can we attach some handles to living this out? How do we live this mission? And so this morning, my hope for 2026 and for, candidly, years ahead, is that we would live that mission out. And we're going to use a word to understand that we can grab onto, a biblical word, salt. Seek Jesus, add one more, loosen your grip, and take your place. By the way, not many pens are moving, but that's what you want to fill in on this side of the card. Seek Jesus, add one more, loosen your grip, take your place. And I want you to notice, each of these is a spiritual habit. You form your habits. You establish what you are going to do on a regular basis, and then they will form you as you spend your time and commit your life to these things. And so, all of these are rooted in the gospel, what Christ has done for us. And this is what you're going to feel, and I'm going to teach this morning. Seek Jesus. We seek Jesus because he sought us. He came after you. He pursued you. He invited you into his family. And so it's in response, not out of some legalistic or oppressive, this isn't what Pastor Ryan wants you to do, but as an act of worship, understanding when we realize that Christ sought us, that we also seek him. And Jesus said these words, "Abide in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing," in John chapter 15. Do we really believe those words are true? That apart from him, if we are not spending time with Jesus, if our lives, our habits are not marked by a relationship with Jesus, do we believe that we won't be able to truly do anything that matters? Because that's what God's word says. And so how are we doing this? This is not optional for us as believers. If we don't abide in him, his word tells us we will not bear fruit. If we want to bear fruit that's visible to the world, we must abide, seek Jesus. How do we do that? Three ways. We talked about this at our prayer gathering this week. We seek Jesus through his word, through his spirit, and through his people. His word, as we study God's word, yes, here on Sunday mornings, but we do that throughout the week. We have men's and women's Bible studies. We have a lot of different opportunities. I'm going to show you where you can find those in just a minute. We seek Jesus through his spirit. We do that through prayer. He's invited us. He is our shepherd, the mediator, the one that draws us to Christ, and we can have that relationship with him. And so we seek Jesus through his spirit. We seek Jesus through his people. We got to pray for one another this last Thursday evening. You greeted one another. That was part of just being reminded. You have a family around you that cares about you, that is here with you, that is on the journey with you. And so, how are you doing this? Our staff organizes itself around trying to provide as many opportunities for you to do this. You can find these on something called the Church Center app. I know I'm getting in the weeds, really practical here. But watch that phone. There's an app. Wherever you find an app in your app store, even green phones can get here and do this, all right? You click on the app store, you look for Church Center, you download that, you select City Church, and what will open up before you is all of the things. Everything that Pastor Kyle announces, I can assure you, it's on that app before he announces it. So if you'd like to be able to ignore him on Sunday mornings, then you can just say, "I've already looked at it in the app." Not that you should do that, by the way. We should all pay attention. But this is an opportunity for you to get connected. You can register. You can do everything that we do that we're talking about here, those things. And plus, we also have these relationships. Are you seeking Jesus with one another? Engage in a fight club. Come to prayer gatherings the second Thursday of every month this year. These aren't just programs. These are habits to orient our hearts towards Jesus. Remember, Jesus sought you. This is why we seek him. That is our motivation. Gospel-rooted discipleship. A, add one more. We add one more because Jesus added to his table. He added us. He made a place for us. Luke 15, you'll know that familiar parable where Jesus says he left the 99, the shepherd, the good shepherd, leaves the 99 to go pursue the one, to add one more to their life, to pursue the lost. And Jesus pursued you. He pursued me. Long before we ever had any pursuit or desire for him, he came after our hearts. And so we think of how can we add one more to our lives? Who can you invite to your dinner table? We've said for so many years, the front door of the church is the front door of your home, inviting people into your home, adding one more to your table. Maybe there's a coworker that you can invite out to lunch or to meet you for coffee, have breakfast at some time or another. Students, reach out to that classmate, that one that you can see needs a friend. You be that friend because Jesus was a friend to you when you had no merit on your own. How can you reach out? Welcome someone into your rhythms. I think about the story of a student named Jimena. Jimena was invited to this church by her high school friend, Caden. Caden said, I'm going to add one more into my life. And she invited her to come here. And so Jimena started coming to our student groups on Wednesday nights. Soon after that, she started coming to worship here on Sunday mornings, and her family started joining us here in worship and now serve and do so many things. Jimena came to faith because a friend added one more to her life, said, I want to invite you into my life. Jimena went on to have a great ministry at her campus when she went off to the University of Arkansas. She graduated from there, and now she's part of the global ministry team at a church down in Dallas called Watermark Church. Who knows the thousands of people who Jimena will meet in eternity because a friend said, I will add one more to my table. Who can you add into your life? Who can you begin praying for? Maybe you don't know that friend. If you don't have a name right now coming on your heart, if the Spirit is not compelling you, then ask the Spirit, give me a friend. You need to make new friends. You need to look outside, look up, think about that. Add one more. L, loosen your grip. Of course, the gospel truth is that Jesus, as we've looked over the last couple of weeks, we've seen Philippians 2 come up over and over and over again, but we loosen our grip because Jesus loosened his grip. He was equal. He is God. And Philippians 2 says, he did not count equality with God a thing to be held on to. With that word grasp, he didn't think, I'm going to hold on to this and never let go. He said, I will loosen my grip and come down, as he did that first Christmas, what we just celebrated, humbled himself, emptied himself for us. He gave up privilege and reputation. He took on our shame for us. So the question I'd invite you to consider this morning is, what do you need to loosen your grip on? By the way, loosening your grip is not just about money. It's about trust, control, security. But I found in our culture, there's four things that we primarily cling on to really firmly. And the first is money. Have you thought about maybe how you could delay a major purchase? Make a commitment, just say, in faith, I'm going to just commit to giving sacrificially to the kingdom. Cancel one of those subscriptions that you don't even know you have right now, but is being charged to your account every month. Create margin in your life for generosity. What could you loosen your grip on financially? Maybe it's not finances, perhaps it's time. One less evening commitment. Creating margin to serve others, host others. Giving consistent and committed time to the church, to the kingdom. Maybe you need to loosen your grip on comfort and convenience. Choosing to be inconvenienced for the sake of other people. When was the last time you were intentionally inconvenienced for the sake of someone else in your life? Opening up your home even when it's not ready. Showing up when it's not easy to show up. Or last, control. And this really is an umbrella that I think touches all of these areas. Trusting God. Rather than hoarding our finances, trusting God with our finances. Letting go of micromanaging all of the outcomes of our lives. And trusting our kids and their future, their reputation to the Lord. What are you holding on so tightly to try and control? During our first capital campaign, the first time where we asked the church to give sacrificially in order to buy this property. So before we ever thought about constructing anything, we purchased this property. And there was many families in this room and many families in our church that gave sacrificially. I remember one family was considering, was on the brink of saying, I'm going to purchase a new vehicle. And they decided, we're going to delay the purchase of that vehicle and we're going to give that car payment to the work of the kingdom. We put this off for a number of years before they purchased that new vehicle. Another family, couple in retirement, can't just say, okay, I'll figure it out. I'm going to go earn a larger bonus next year. But with a fixed income, simply said, I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to control the outcome. I'm going to trust God and give sacrificially and trust that he will take care of us for the rest of our lives. How can we loosen our grip to trust God? Generosity, friends, it's not about how much you give. It's never been about that. It's about whose kingdom you trust. Who do you trust most, yourself or your heavenly Father? Loosen our grip. T, take your place. Again, the gospel teaches us we take our place because Jesus took our place on the cross. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus says he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life away as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't wait for someone to be able to look for serving. He served first. And he calls us in that same way to serve, to give our lives to the sake and the work of the kingdom. This can look like a lot of different ways. Perhaps you serve faithfully in a ministry right here at City Church. You look for those opportunities to serve others. I think of our silver servants just this last Thursday. Again, you're going to hear me talk about prayer services a lot, so you just might as well get on board with them. Join us, all right? Last Thursday, they served our meal to us and just took care of us. It was such a gift to our church to serve in the local body. There's so many that are serving right now, taking care of your children, our children, in littles and kids ministry and student ministry. We're going to have Disciple Now weekend, looking for those opportunities to serve. Some of you, I look around the room and I know you a little bit, but I don't know you really well enough to shepherd and care for you well. And I would say, would you consider, if you're going to be a part of this church, take a step of commitment to say, I am going to commit to being a covenant partner, joining this church. So our elders and staff can rally around you and can know how we can best care for you as we get to know you and journey alongside you. Maybe there's a ministry, one of our partner ministries, Hope Women's Center or Melissa Community Outreach or 25 Project or all these various things out in the community, opportunities for you to serve. And you think, this is a place where God has given me a gift and an opportunity to serve and compelling me to serve. Maybe there's something brand new. The Holy Spirit has just been at work in your heart, stirring up something in your life, saying, I've been gifted, and I think that this would be a way to serve Christ and his kingdom by starting something brand new. What is the Lord stirring up in your heart to do? Take your place wherever God might be calling you to serve. Again, it's not just attendance, it's contribution. It's why we use, when we talk about membership here at City Church, we use the word covenant partners because we are partnering together, linking arms, not just about attendance, linking arms for the sake of the kingdom. Again, back to Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves. I want you to see that first word, they. That's a plural. So we did that, and we do all of this in community with one another, not in isolation. These habits that we form and that shape us, we do that in community. So there's one, encouragement and strengthening, but there's also accountability. Habits formed in community become habits that are worshipful. And so we step out and we take action. How can you seek Jesus in the year ahead? Who can you add to your table? Where can you loosen your grip on some area of your life, opening up new opportunities for greater generosity? And where can you take your place in service to the kingdom? Imagine if we all took a step. Some of you are radically generous. And so that's not a really area of growth for you. Some of you have really beautiful rhythms of your time seeking Jesus. So that might not be an area of growth for you. Some of you open your doors every night of the week. Some of you serve perhaps even more than you should. But in every area, we can all take a step of growth in some way. And so we're going to consider that. Before we do, and I turn it over to David to lead us in filling out the other side of that card where there's some singular blanks, I want to remind each and every one of you, and especially if you're here, this is not something that we do to check a box. This is not religious duty. And it would be the worst thing that could happen to say, I'm doing this and I'm filling out these blanks and making these commitments and thinking about these habits to appease Pastor Ryan. That's not why we do these things. We also do all of these things in response to what Christ has done. Do you notice how I started with the gospel? Jesus sought me. Jesus added me to his table. Jesus loosened his grip on heaven to come and take my place on the cross. For some of you, you don't need to do anything this morning but believe. Perhaps today is the day of salvation, to simply believe that that is true, that Jesus really did those things for you, because he did. And then out of a heart of worship, in response to this new understanding, later this week, in the weeks or months ahead, that's when you'll start thinking about, okay, how can I follow Jesus in doing these things? Don't get that order backwards. Religious activity, trying to do things under our own strength, will only lead to frustration and exhaustion, and ultimately, very often, leads to rebellion. But when we understand the gospel, when we believe the gospel, when we know what Christ has done for us, and the Holy Spirit stirs up in us this compelling call, that's when, strengthened by his Spirit, we're able to form these new habits that make us into a community of people that display his glory to the world around us. What is the Spirit of God compelling you to do this year? Is it to believe this morning? And David's going to lead us in thinking about how we can be faithful in these answers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you that you sought me when I was lost and so many others in this room. Would you teach us this morning? And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would call us, would you compel us to take steps of faith, remembering, Jesus, that you sought us, that you added us to your table, that you loosened your grip and took our place on the cross. Help us to respond in obedience, in faithfulness. We worship you. And our desire is that we would worship you with all of our lives and everything that we do. So help us now to consider this. Stir up this room for our good and for your glory. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world. Oh, you say.